Welcome, Photon Warriors. Commence strategic maneuvers at audible command signal. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, begin.
Jackalope Radio presents Movies Hate You. Movies Hate You, with your host, Rob Housechild.
And where's the music, Todd?
Man, the music's already here. What are you trying to do? Man, you can't
hear
it.
I don't get intro music?
Yeah,
I don't get to hear. The hell with you, Todd Sheets. Welcome to Movies Hate You, sponsored by bmovie.com. I keep adding an S to it. They're going to sue me or fire me, or even worse, stop sending bad DVDs my way. And Mr. Ree will be out of a job. Hey, Mr. Ree, are you there with us? Are you hiding somewhere?
Hello, everybody.
Oh, yeah. Oh, direct from Hawaii. It's Mr. Ree.
Hawaii.
Welcome to bmovie.com, sponsored by Movies Hate You. Wait a minute, that's wrong. Welcome to Movies... That was intentional. I'm just kidding, of course. This is Movies Hate You.
Why, thank you, I think.
Yes. Hey, if you want to email us, you can get us at movieshateyou@gmail.com. We've been getting some really great mail, none of which I will speak about on the air. Also, Todd, we have some forms, something that started new.
Yes.
In the Jackalope family.
Jackaloperadio.com. The forms are there.
Forums where you can go on and show all your knowledge about anything on Jackalope, right? I mean, I can go on and join the forum of any show on the Jackalope Radio family.
Yeah. Well, right? All you got to do is join the forums once, and then you can participate in every show.
Right. Exactly. So you can go on and say, you know, your show stinks. Do you have to give your real name, though?
Well, you can do whatever you want. I mean, I'd like people to use their real names. It's easier to communicate and get to know each other.
Now, well,
they can call themselves anything they want.
Okay.
You can go on there and say ass crack if you want. I mean,
oh, can you curse on there? Can you use
Yeah, we don't censor our boards.
Can you put dirty pictures up?
You know, I'm sure people can. I've never tried that.
So this is going to be basically the Jackalope version of 4chan.
I don't know what that is.
Okay. Does anyone else know what that is? No. Lee, do you know what that is?
4chan.
He doesn't know.
Forget you guys.
Is it like Prodigy?
You guys call yourself... It's like Earthlink. You guys call yourselves... I don't know. You guys call yourselves underground people.
Yeah, but we're not in a social networking thing.
You guys call yourselves fanboys. Come on.
Yeah, I just signed up for a Prodigy account, so
I'm with you,
baby.
I want to mention last week's show, we had the very interesting and quite scary exploitation filmmaker Sean Weathers on, but due to a Jackalope radio station technical screw-up, the show didn't air in its entirety or at all in some markets. So that will be available for you right now in the Jackalope archives. If you go under the 12, was it 12 or 13th? I think it was December 13th show.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's Sean Weathers, and you don't want to miss that show.
And apologies to Sean, because I think he's the man.
Apologies to Sean. And I think we'll be hearing a lot more of him around Jackalope Studios. But anyway.
I think so, yeah. We've got some stuff working. So.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. You know what I'm learning, Todd, is that Movies Hate You, as poorly rated as it is, of course, is quite a springboard for other voice talent to join the station. I'm just let's keep that in mind when it comes to...
I'm really glad of that, because that way if you act up or call me names, I can replace you quickly.
Well, also, I want you to remember that when it comes time next week for Christmas bonus season at the Jackalope family. Thank
35 you cents coming your way, buddy.
And I already get that from bmovie.com for sponsorship. So you're going to have to match that or better it. I prefer you better it.
That's awesome.
You're kind of the Petticoat Junction of internet radio.
Kind of, yeah. I'm kind of like the show that won't leave, but no one knows why.
It's a great show.
Also,
it's a great show, but it's more famous, I think, for spawning all the spinoffs, like Green Acres.
Right. I know what you meant.
Somebody out there who doesn't know. So,
but it's kind of you. So it's kind of like All in the Family a little bit too.
All the Family, sure.
And you kind of
do
remind me of Archie Bunker some days, Rob.
I thought I reminded you of Bob Newhart.
Rob Reiner, I think. Meathead.
Yeah, great, thanks. Hey, buddy, you got the long hair, not me, huh?
True.
Yeah. Let's revisit that, Sally Struthers.
I'm not eating poor, starving African children. So
You're not eating them or feeding them?
I'm not eating them. Sally Struthers doesn't feed anybody. She just eats them. Have you seen her lately?
That's not fair. That's so not nice,
Attack
man.
Attack of the Killer Tomatoes. Attack of the Killer Sally Struthers.
Gun in the House, man. One of the best TV movies of my childhood. Gun in the House.
I'm talking about today after she's eaten all the African children. Attack of the Sally Struthers.
Can you imagine a TV movie today being made called Gun in the House? Like, who gives a damn?
Yeah.
Mr. Lee, did you hear in the news this week that Bon Jovi died?
Did they?
No, not the whole band, just the guy, John Bon Jovi. That was a rumor going around the intranet this week, is that Bon Jovi was dead.
I did not know that. No, I never saw that.
It turns out he's not dead, okay? So you can be. I know you're a big fan, and I just wanted to bring it up. And he's had quite a B-movie career, come to think of it. So I'm just mentioning that, and... But you know who is dead? Kim Jong-il is dead.
Crazy,
yeah.
Yeah,
he is dead. And he has a B-movie past. Did you know that?
Team America, besides that?
No, I'm talking the real dude. Kim Jong-il produced a couple of B-movies in Korea.
Wait, Kim Jong is dead? I didn't even know he was ill.
Yeah.
Hey, sorry about that.
Oh, Mr. Ray.
Of Bon Jovi, though, do you know his best, most obscure credit? I mean, my favorite, most obscure credit of his. Before they were anything, he and his brother, who is his brother in the band as well?
No. His brother's a hairdresser in like Red Bank, New Jersey.
Well, he at least was a musician, and they did a Star Wars Christmas album. In I think 1980, under assumed names, although I think it is credited to whatever his name is, Bon Jovi.
Bon Jovi, yeah, it's like
with the original spelling, yeah. But John Bon Jovi plays on it, and it's great. It's Star Wars Christmas, featuring the hit "What Do You Get a Wookiee for Christmas When He Already Has a Cult?"
and our fan nerd moment was brought to you by bmovie.com. Thank you very much, Lee, for joining us. Speaking of Christmas, this is our Christmas show. It is. I just realized that. This is our Christmas show. Merry Christmas, guys.
Merry Christmas.
I prefer to say happy holidays.
You know, listen, let's be non-denominational. And by the way, last week I did say God bless Rudy Ray Moore, because God rest his soul, I think I said. But that does not in any way advocate the existence of God. Just for the record, anyone listening last week.
Jeez.
I want to
say to hell with the PC movement and say whatever the hell you want.
I really want to. Well, I say God bless in a kind of like, let's remember the guy. I don't really mean God bless him. You see what I'm saying? I don't want it to be a religious thing. And I want to piss off everybody in the Midwest who's listening to this. There is no God. How silly. We don't have a God in New York here. Ha. Huh. Anyway, well, speaking of Christmas, Mr. Ree, I'm speaking.
I'm sorry.
Mr. Ree, I'm speaking. It's Christmas. I don't want to get into an atheist conversation with you. Hitchens is dead. Forget it. All right.
Man, what the hell was all that about? Poor Mr. Ree.
Mr. Reese trying to engage me in some kind of philosophical, theological discussion. He wants to turn this show into some kind of atheist playground.
I was going for a cheap joke, that's all.
Go ahead. I'll let you have it. Then we got to move on.
No, what I was going to say is when you say God bless, what you're really saying is Gesundheit. That's all.
Well, it is our Christmas show. Good night, Lee. Good night, Mr. Lee. It is our Christmas show, and we're going to get to some special Christmas DVD reviews, right, Mr. Reed, later on. But for our holiday show, depending on your deity worship. And what I got in the mail was number 6, Lunch Meat Magazine. Are you a fan of Lunch Meat Magazine, Mr. Reed?
Oh, big fan.
Big fan. Do you even know what it is? It's not about bologna.
Oh, well, they're recipes, though, right?
Well, sort of. I guess there are prescriptions, so to speak. Not necessarily recipes.
Yeah, I'm kind of a pimento loaf person myself.
Yeah, I think you must be. Well, you know what? Let's hear it from the horse's mouth. With us tonight, Lunch Meat editor, owner, publisher, founder, Grand Poobah, here to tell us about the new issue of Lunch Meat Magazine, which if you haven't read, you're a fool and an idiot. It's a VHS magazine. And not just, you know, not articles about how to clean your heads, man. It's about the old school stuff that we all love. Some of us who grew up on it, some of us who are just discovering it now. It's kind of like the forefather. Even though it's issue 6 and this VHS culture is so young, Lunch Meat's already a legend and a forefather and a grandfather. Josh Schaefer is with us. Josh, are you there or have you given up on
us? I am here.
Rawr!
Thank you for having me on the show, my friend. I think it's a personal choice, man. I think however you want to say it, I think that's how you should say it. I think you should say, you can just say rewind. You can say don't be a jerk. Rewind, pay 50 cents. You know, there's all kinds of ways. Be kind with the little bees. That's my favorite one.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. Actually, the new issue, the inside covers are all stickers from VHS tapes, like rentals and stuff. And there's a plethora of stickers in there about how you should rewind. You know, it's mini lessons on how to take care of VHS tapes. So,
Mr. Schaefer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I love Lunch Meat, and I've loved it since issue 1. And I'm not just saying that because I am a contributor to Lunch Meat Magazine. So I figured we'd spend the rest of the show talking about my excellent contribution to the issue 6, Tapes from the Trash Bin. Tell me how good I am, Josh.
Well, Rob, it's no secret that your shit is my favorite stuff on there. I think that...
It's no secret. You heard
it.
It's
no secret. I say it a lot. I say it to you. I say it to my friends when they're reading, like, got to check out Tapes from the Trash Bin. I think that's a great... facet of the magazine. I mean, you sit through all these like terrible movies that would never get any coverage except for Tapes in the Trash Bin, but it's a huge part of VHS culture. I mean, all the stuff that was released on VHS, I mean, there is some really crappy stuff out there, and it's still fun to watch. You know, they're little time capsules, so I thank you for watching all these horrendous movies and letting everybody know just how horrendous they are, but lovable. So,
you know, Josh, when I was, you know, coming up with the concept of tapes from the trash bin, yes, you're right. I find there's a lot of fanboy foolery going on in the VHS world and a little bit of snobbery. And you need someone that's going to sit through all the exercise tapes and stuff like Hanging with Bosco, one of the best tapes ever released in the history of mankind. No one will ever see it. Because it's not a clamshell on a Thriller label with Elvira on it. You know what I mean?
That's but it's still analog excellence, man. Hanging with Bosco, man?
Come on, dude. That's brilliance, man. Anyway, no, listen.
More about it. It's in the issue. Hanging with Bosco. That's it.
You want to read about Hanging with Bosco? You heard of Jimmy Buffett? He's got nothing on Bosco. That's all I have to say.
Puts him to shame.
All you Jimmy Buffett fans who are listening, I know you listen to this show, parrot heads. You want to get into some Bosco, and I'm not talking about the chocolate syrup clown. All right. No, listen, I'm kidding, of course. I do love talking about myself, but that's not why you're here. You are here to talk about this new issue, which is, I think, and I'm not completely finished with it, but it's probably my favorite issue to date. And I'm not saying that not because I'm in it, because the material in this, man, it's you personally reviewed Desert Snow, which you just had a show in New York where you played Desert Snow in a theater at the Spectacle.
Yes, we did.
What was that all about, man?
Oh, man, that movie's great. If you haven't seen Desert Snow, you have to watch it. I mean, if you like trash film, this is one of the films that you absolutely must get your eyes on. I think that Desert Snow is probably one of the best trashy coke films I've ever seen in my entire life. And yes, that is a subgenre. It's a sub-subgenre, I think.
Not a small one either.
No. And I mean, to put it in a nutshell, I guess Desert Snow is about drug mules in Arizona, and then the coke deal gets all messed up, and then some people from New York have to come out to Arizona, and it's tons of like middleman mob like stuff like that, or people, you know, I'm going to cut off your balls, and like, not if I cut off your balls first, and that kind of stuff. And it's really, really great if you're into like trashy films. I mean, it's a VHS only video, you know, movie, so you know it's in the magazine, so of course. But
so go pay $200 for it right now.
Hey, man,
Amazon.
You can get that tape pretty cheap. You know why? Because nobody really knows about it. And see, that's the thing you're talking about with like people like going gaga over like Thriller tapes and all that kind of stuff. It is hype. I mean, you see people go, you see tapes go for like $200 or $300, and like you said earlier, like the next guy's going to put it up for $350.
Yeah, you know, and it's usually the worst crap. I mean, has anyone, any of you VHS collectors, have you ever watched any of those friggin' Elvira Thriller tapes? They're all like crappy British TV movies with no gore, no violence, no fun.
It's all Hammer House of Horror stuff. It's all that show, Hammer's House of Horror.
Yes, it's junk. It's crap. The box is the best part. No, don't tell me you sat through any of those, please.
I mean, I've watched.
I defy any fanboy to sit through those movies and give it a good review. Seriously, and then not watch Desert Snow or Wavelength, one of my favorites that you have a review of in this issue.
Yeah, Wavelength's in there, man.
Why isn't that on DVD, man?
I don't know. Don't ask me.
Well, anyway, back to Desert Snow, which I own a copy of. Am I talking over you? I'm so sorry, dude. Are we losing Josh? Josh?
Can you hear me?
There we go. Josh?
Can you hear me right?
A little bit. You're breaking up a little bit, Todd. Are you catching that?
I am.
He's fading a little bit. And I'm wonder. Here. Okay.
Should I talk louder?
No, I think it's your...
Yell into your microphone.
I don't know what? If it's... I don't know if it's your equipment or if it's just... It sounds like you're kind of fading every time you start talking. Which is why I talked over you, and I didn't mean to. I apologize. Hmm. Desert Snow, which I own, it's, if any indication, a VHS head will know this. It's on the Radon label, so that right there gives the story of what quality to expect. That font, Desert, is in that. It's in that tree font. What Desert? It Snow. I mean, it's the worst font, the worst cover I've ever seen in my life. Therefore, it's beautiful. I mean, it's definitely Radon. That's all I have to say. Some other films you review in this: Rockula, excellent. Dudes, excellent. And not only do you review Dudes, you have an excellent interview with Daniel Roebuck from Dudes and a million other things. If you don't know Danny Roebuck, he's one of the most prolific, hardest working character actors in the industry today. He does Hollywood A-list stuff. He does B stuff. He does independent stuff. He's all over the place. He's a huge monster fan, horror fan. He's in Rob Zombie's movies. He's a huge collector, and he's interviewed here in Lunch Meat. You'll also, awesomely, Gene Quintano is interviewed in this. If you know anything about the 80s and Coming At You, Treasure of the Four Crowns. And then there's this great thing, Tapes from the Trash. So awesome, man. I think my favorite article in this is, only because I have a personal small collection of this stuff, is the Interactive VHS Games. And I've been waiting for somebody to write about this stuff or collect this stuff and talk about it. And you personally did this article on all these, like, you know, I don't know, X-Files, the interactive game, the VCR games that were big in the 80s and 90s. You want to talk about that, dude?
Yeah, man. So can you guys hear me okay? Or
yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. All right, killer. So yeah, I've had a few interactive VHS games since I started collecting like about 10 years ago. And, you know, I was really looking around and, you know, other magazines are starting to cover more VHS stuff, like Horror Hound's doing, you know, their video profiles and things like that, which I think is awesome. You know, if I can throw that out there, I think that since VHS is getting to other magazines, it's a really cool thing. And like you said, the VHS culture is really coming up, so we'll see more of it. But what I wasn't seeing, is anything on these interactive VHS games. And there is just a crap load of them, man. There's, I mean, over 10 years, I think there's over 50 titles, like different ones. And I touched on every single one that I think is relevant to that a videovore would enjoy. It was a lot of fun to do. I mean, I sat through a lot of crappy games by myself and watched a lot of tapes. And, you know, a lot of them aren't that fun and they're kind of clunky, but there's a couple that are really, really fun. Doorways to Horror and Doorways to Adventure. Those games are awesome. You like go through portals and stuff like that and collect artifacts, and it's really, really fun. And then there were some that like were really promising and then totally crapped out. Like the RoboCop game, I was so stoked when I got the RoboCop game. I was like, this is going to be awesome. And then I played it and it's just awful. And it's just not fun. But, I mean, they use cool clips from the movie, which is kind of cool. But, you know, you should probably just get RoboCop for that. But, I mean, I'm glad that you enjoyed that article because I had a lot of fun writing it and researching it and stuff like that.
I have the Action Max games. I have all three tapes, but I don't have – I guess there was a gun or something with it. And I also have a bunch of the Captain Power stuff. And it's just great to watch that stuff even if you're not playing it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Action Max, we bring up Action Max, which is totally killer. If you're not familiar with it, Action Max is something that hooked up to your VCR and with a little LED screen would count your points. And you'd use a light gun, much like the light gun in Nintendo, and you would shoot at the screen and the screen would react and connect with it, much like a remote control would. And it would pretty much just tally your score. But it's all live action stuff. And there's this one called The Rescue of Pops Ghostly. Even if you don't have the game, just watching that, it's like trippy puppets with like space warps and like time warps and stuff, and it's absolutely bonkers. And I recommend just getting that tape, even if you don't have the Action Max system, because it's worthwhile.
It's insane, man. I'm glad you gave a few pages to this total thing, because no one else is. And I think what Lunch Meat is saying to me and to everyone else is that we're just like scratching the surface here of what's out there and what's, you can go to a thrift store and get into this crazy stuff that exists, culture that has just been thrown away.
The culture is endless. I get the question out when people ask me about the magazine, like, what are you going to do when you run out of material? And I can't help but say, like, I don't think I'll ever run out of material. I mean, the VHS boom was enormous. It was tremendous. I mean, there was so much stuff being produced. I mean, from like, you know, those trash tapes that I talk about to, you know, like mainstream stuff, like everything. And, you know, with the VHS gaming, there is just so much stuff to go through.
Well, you're looking at like 25 years of, you know, constant output from the industry.
And like heavy output too. I mean, like people were putting everything on VHS. It was the revolution in home entertainment. I mean, it revolutionized everything for American home
entertainment. And that's what I like about doing my column, is trying to find stuff that, like, you know, someone released out of their basement or something, you know, or just something that got such a small release, but it's out there, you know, and you're coming across it. It's not common. It's like, yeah, there's all the no-brainer stuff that we saw in theaters that went to tape or import stuff that got a wide release depending on the label, but there's all this kind of like homemade how-to stuff and weird puppet stuff and you know, how-to sex manuals and everything, fish tanks and fireplaces and anything.
How to clean your fish tank.
Yeah, it's everything, man.
Absolutely.
Everything.
I mean, I'm sure there is a how to clean your fish tank video out there.
There is.
I would bet my teeth that there is.
There is. We played it at our last VHS show. There is
excellent.
One.
Excellent.
I have a sealed in front of me. I was dead serious right here. I have the WrestleMania VCR game.
Oh yeah, dude, that is awesome. I played that actually to research that. I played it with my dad one weekend, and we had a blast.
I didn't even open it. It's still manufacturer sealed, man. This was really cool. It's got Hogan versus Andre the Giant on the cover.
Yeah.
And it says over 175 WWF live action highlights. Now, Mr. Ree, how much would you give for this? We'll do a live auction here on the air.
Well, I already have it, so
Well, go to hell.
It's pretty cool, though. I love it. I'm a big wrestling fan. I love it. I heartily recommend it.
I want to play this with a crowd. That's when I want to open this in front of a crowd of people, pop it in, and play the game live in an audience at one of the VHS shows.
That would be so cool, man. You should totally do that.
Game or...
It's a game.
No, that's not the one I have. I have one that's it's cheats for a video game.
You're ahead of the curve, man. Does it have
the Contra dudes on the front, Mr. Lee? Does it have the Contra dudes on the front of that tape? The secret video game codes tape.
Let me see if I can lay my hands on it and see.
It's blue, and it has the Contra dudes on the front. I just watched it like 4 days ago, so I can tell you all about it if that's it.
I wish I could tell you.
Forget this guy. He's going to dig through his crap.
It's from Coliseum Video. They put out all the video, the WWF.
Oh, it's Coliseum, though. This is MPI.
Yeah, no, this is Coliseum. It's for the NES and Sega Genesis 32X.
That's a different one. Mine's all 8-bit Nintendo games.
What's cool about this one is it's got... it's like what late 80s, I guess, and it's got some wrestler. I'm sorry, 95, but it's got wrestlers in character telling you how to play the video game, which is amazing. Somebody like the Undertaker, who his whole character is that he's very slow and very serious, and he's like telling you how to play this video game. It's fun.
That sounds excellent. I need to find that.
Yeah.
That is awesome, man. This is the Movies Hate You show, sponsored by BMovie.com. We are on the air with Josh Schaefer, who owns, operates, runs, publishes, manages, cleans up after everybody at Lunch Meat Magazine, a magazine dedicated to blood, terror, babes, monsters, and VHS tapes.
Indeed.
Indeed, he's with us tonight. How can people find Lunch Meat if they can't find it at their local bookstore or big box seller?
Lunch Meat has a website. You can go to lunchmeatvhs.com or lunchmeatmagazine.com, and we have our mission statement there and lots of information about what we're doing. You can get to know the people that write for us, and you can feast on a blog that we do. It's called Spare Parts. All the stuff that doesn't really make it into the pages of Lunch Meat, we put it up there because there's so much stuff to cover.
So you mean like the crappier stuff ends up on the web?
No, it's not crappy, dude. It's just like it wouldn't necessarily make it into the magazine, I don't think, because it's maybe too short, or you know, it's not totally VHS centered. Like we do stuff on like, well, here's something that I just did on the blog. It's really cool. You know that heavy metal band Grim Reaper from the UK?
Yeah.
Remember them? Well, I got a record, Fear No Evil, and I was about to pop it on. And out comes this little insert where you can enter a contest to win a RCA VCR along with 5 media titles. And it's so cool. All you have to do is answer these trivia questions. And the last trivia question is in 20 words or less, because they tell you that these aliens invade Earth and they've outlawed metal. And you have to tell them how you can prove you're a rock and roll maniac and save the world from a metalless existence. And you would send this in, and top prize winner wins a VCR with like 5 media titles. I think it's Blood Beach, Night of Living Dead, Reefer Madness, Dorm That Drip Blood, and Halloween, which are all killer titles. And they had like third prize, fourth prize, where you can win like a Grim Reaper baseball jersey and a Grim Reaper bandana. And I just thought it was like the coolest thing. You know,
Did you send away for it?
No, but if I had a time machine, I would go back to 1985 and totally enter that shit. If you look at the blog, you can see.
Just send it. Yeah, no, just send it and see where it happens. See where it goes.
No, wait a minute. I got to keep that thing.
We'll make a photocopy. Yeah.
Well, it says clearly and expressly on there, photocopies are not acceptable. So,
what if Grim Reaper's still waiting for these entries? You know, you just don't know.
They might be. Yeah. Like, why come nobody entered? What are we going to do with this VCR?
Yeah, they're sitting there with those media. Now that's worth like 3 times what it was. You know, come on, man.
But I did put my 20-word answer on that blog entry, so if you want to know what I would do to prove a rock and roll maniac,
I will go check it out. You know what? Go ahead. And what?
I was just going to say, and everybody else should too, man. The blog's fun. I think the blog is really fun. We have all kinds of cool stuff on there. So if you want to see what Lunch Meet's about and you see what kind of stuff we're into and everything, and it's really fun on there, man. I'm glad that it took us a while to get a website because we're totally in a time warp. We're super analog over here. So, but the website is a good deal.
You said earlier somebody asked you, what are you going to do when you run out of tapes? I think you should do the magazine on a tape. You know what I mean? Like just
it's
video
been talked
it.
About. Me and Matt Parbrews want to do it. I mean, I could totally
do the whole issue on a tape. Yeah, or just or a whole issue dedicated to those tapes you get when you like you answer. You ever see on TV? It's like send for a free tape explaining how our hearing aid loss blah 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 works. Like a whole issue dedicated to those tapes that used to get in the mail because you can find those. Everybody threw those out.
It sounds like you're proposing a tapes from the trash bin. Issue on tape, man.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm just saying, you know. I'm not trying to give more myself more work.
I'm totally into filming one of the issues, and
yeah, all the writers can do their own little segment. I would do my segment on video. Sure, man. I would do that. You could see the face to match the voice of this fine radio program.
You're going to see my face pretty soon on a TV show that I'm going to be doing for the Monster Channel. Have you guys heard about this?
New, but I have heard of the Monster Channel.
Yeah, so Lunch Meet is getting a show on the Monster Channel called Lunch Meet VHS Rewind Theater, and they have licensed all of the Camp Motion Pictures shot on video movies like Video Violence, Cannibal Camp Out, Wood Chipper Massacre, etc. And what we're going to do is I'm going to be hosting a show once a week, and I'm going to do the wraparound, so I'll do an intro and an intermission and the ending, and what we're going to do is just I'll talk about the films and then we'll show them. And, you know,
hey, hang on a minute. I'm on the Camp Motion Pictures label too. Does that mean Zombie Bloodbath's going to be on there?
I don't know if they picked that one up.
I hope so. That's shot on video.
I would definitely do that one. Zombie Bloodbath is killer. But, I don't have the list in front of me, but I know Cannibal Camp Out, Video Violence 1 and 2. Let's see what else. Ghoul School, Wood Chipper Massacre.
This is killer. When were you going to wait to tell us this? I'm here.
I'm talking about the stupid magazine.
No, guy's going to be a star, man. He's bringing it big time.
Coming up to New York in like a couple weeks. I'm going to film all the wraparounds with Joe.
And Todd, you said this VHS thing would be dead by 98. Ha! The heck
I did?
No, but that's going to be really fun. I think it's going to be a great time, and it's going to... The Monster Channel is really cool because they're going to stream all this stuff, and you have like interactivity where you can talk to people. You know what I mean? Not you can type to people. So I mean, I think it's going to be really cool where people can just have conversations about these movies as they play, and they can make fun of me and like look at this guy up here talking about VHS tapes. So I mean, it's going to be really great. I'm really excited. So you will get to see my face on your computer screen.
That's killer, man. You're like a horror host now. You're like Elvira now.
Dude, I'm gonna get a big wig, get some fake boobs, wear some stockings. It's gonna be great.
I didn't say that. I didn't. Now you're taking it too far. Oh, okay. All right.
I don't know if I should rip off her style though. Maybe I should more do. I love Zachary. Zachary is the guy that I would emulate if I could emulate any horror host.
That's Mr. Ree's favorite.
Zachary. Oh yes. Shit. He's awesome.
Yes.
Horrible Horrors. Don't have that tape. You need to get that one. Horrible Horrors, hosted by Zachary.
Oh yeah, killer.
I think issue number 2.
I have it. It's a cut box, sadly, but I do have it. You also have a friend of the show, Heather Drain, has an article in your new issue. I'm just amazed at the amount of stuff in here and the diversity of stuff in here. You know, if people think this is just a VHS review zine, they're wrong. You got an interview. You interviewed George Stover.
I was so excited to interview him. It's funny story how I got to know him. I was on eBay and I was looking for stuff, and he had where did I buy off him? 13 Ghosts, the Ghost Viewer.
Yeah,
the original one from the William Castle flick.
And yeah,
he had it for real cheap, and I bought it. And I was like, "Hey, man, do you have any other stuff?" And he's like, "Yeah, I got a bunch of stuff. Here's some other stuff I have." Signed George Stover, and I was like, "George Stover."
Yeah,
I double checked online. I was like, are you like the George Stover from all the John Waters films and the Don Dohler films? And he's like, yeah. I was like, you're the guy that did Cinema Cobb. And he's like, yeah, I did that. And I was like, oh my God, dude, I have to interview you. Because he's such a nice guy too. He's such like a down-to-earth kind of dude. And just
I think I think we've all bought something from George Stover on eBay at one point
he's
or another.
He's got so much cool stuff, man. Yeah, he's got like mountains of stuff stacked away somewhere.
Yeah, total fan, a true fan, true collector. And
yeah, and that's really what it's about. I mean, like, if you want to ask me what Lunch Meat is all about, of course it's all about VHS, but it's really about fostering a community of people that understand why VHS is so rad and why it's important to keep talking about it and why it's important that people recognize it. And because for me, and people always, like, you know, the everyday guy that I tell, like, oh, what do you do, man? I was like, oh, I, you know, in my spare time, I publish a magazine about VHS tapes. You know, they laugh or they look puzzled or something. And I'm like, no, man, VHS tapes are a viable form of media. And viable in the way that you can only watch certain things on this format. And if you don't have this format, then you're going to miss a lot of stuff. There's just, like, you talk about, like, when you run out of stuff, like, you're never going to run out of stuff, man. There's just so much stuff.
I mean, it's up there with vinyl collecting. You know, it's. I mean, it's getting there. It doesn't have the, like, you know, I think when an average Joe or Jane goes to, like, a garage sale and they see a box of old records, they go, oh, some old records, maybe they're worth something, you know what I mean? Because it's ingrained in people's heads that these things have value. And I think that's where tapes are going. And what I like above all else, Lunch Meat, and I love it to death, is how down to earth it is about collecting and being into this stuff, and just completely without pretension or fanboy snobbery. And there are other places and people doing this that just come off the wrong way. There's no, you know, it's like you love it, but it's with conditions. You can't really be like that. You can't only want the best stuff. You got to like it all. You've got to be able to dive into it all, or you're really just into it because you're actually a horror freak and you want to have more toys than the next guy or something like that.
I think there is an element of that to the community. And, you know, that's the kind of thing that I won't say I stray from, but I mean, like you said, in the magazine, it's just, I try to keep people in there that really love it, you know? And I think I find a lot of people, like, you talk about the elitism or the snobbery or something, like, I see it. I mean, I can't deny it. I see it. I mean, I do.
And no one likes to talk about that, and that annoys me.
I do talk about it in the magazine, but I mean, I don't like attack it or do anything direct about it, because it's not something that I want to foster. There's not something I want to say, like, hey, you snobs out there, quit doing it. I just want to keep it. I want them to read it and be like, hey, this is actually a really, really cool community where people can share, you know. And it's like, It's the thing of the internet with people, like, paying, you know, hundreds and hundreds of dollars for tapes. Like, I sit around with Matt from Horror Boobs and we look at these prices, like, dude, look at this, like, 600 bucks, what? Like, yeah. you see a copy of Mama's Home online for like
$350. Yeah, 650. Like, yeah.
$650.
I saw that on eBay.
Yeah, I saw it too. We all see it because we all look at it. And
that's
like
a dollar tape. It's a $5 movie at best, you know?
And it was just released with The Basement from Camp Motion Pictures, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
As captives, for anybody that wants to know, like, Mama's Home tape, $650, you can get it on The Basement, you know, for like, what is it, like $29.95 or something, and get all this other bitch and stuff. And
well,
you can watch
that movie. But I think it's the same, you know, the argument is, you know, are you in it for the movie that's on the tape or the tape itself as an object, as an item of collectability? So the same way I can get any Elvis record on CD or download or whatever, but, you know, if you want this particular Elvis record on vinyl, it's going to cost you $300. It's that kind of. I understand it. I've been around it my whole life, and I understand collecting. But I often wonder why certain things are being collected. Some things that aren't even scarce. You know, there are harder to find things that go for pennies.
Yeah, I think it's all about the attention something gets. You know, like I said, somebody sells something for, like, there's just one guy that's been looking for this tape for 10 years and he pays like $300 for it. And then the next guy has one. He's like, I'm going to put this up for like $400.
I know, but where are they getting this? Where's the hub of this information coming from? That's what I want to know. Like, who said Mama's Home is so great that you have to pay $600 for it? What zine?
Because it's the only one on eBay or like something like that. Like, it's all about the circuit that it's in, you know. And I think that, like, people look at past tapes and stuff like that, and people
tapes
get hot, you know what I mean? And I think that's where it comes from. And I mean, whoever is making these rules that these tapes cost this much, I think everybody else is making the rules, you know, everybody else that buys them before these other people or pays these outrageous prices. I don't think you can put a price on a tape and have somebody pay for it unless they really want it. So, I mean, but like both you and I know, Rob, that going out and digging is the best thing. Going out and looking for tapes, because you can't beat the enjoyment of the hunt, and you can't beat finding it for 50 cents or a dollar when you see like the Tales from the Quad Dead Zone. You know, yep. You see somebody pay like $500 or $600 for that. And then my buddy Matt's like, I found that for a dollar for like 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
And, you know, and like, that's the way to do it, man. That's the way to get that tape.
That's the real that, you know, if you had money, you can just buy all these tapes. You could just go down the line on eBay and just for $50, $50, $50, $40, $60, well, up to the $600 tapes that and have an instant collection that everyone, you know, is adoring you for. Or you can go out there and, you know, the thing, and I've been digging in boxes for 20 years for tapes before it was cool. And so has Mr. Ree and Todd Sheets and Josh. You've been doing it a long time before this whole thing happened. So you know that thrill. Not only that, it's finding the stuff that you aren't looking for that you're turned on to. Like, what the hell is this?
Absolutely.
And then you make the discovery. That's the archaeology of it. That is the real thrill. That's the picking thrill. If you're not a picker, you don't understand. If you're not a dumpster diver, you don't understand. You know, and I understand not everybody is in a metropolitan area where there were 50 video stores in every town and the stuff is just not available. And I understand that. You have to buy it on eBay. I get it. You know, it's totally cool.
See, I think yeah, go ahead.
No, if somebody wants to sell it for $600, that's their right. Somebody wants to pay $600, that's their right. That's fine.
Yeah, I mean, it takes two on that one. You know, and mm-hmm. I think what my thoughts on this are, I think with the V, like, I've been collecting for a while, like you said, and I used to buy tapes on Amazon and stuff for like $5, you know, $2, and tapes that are going for like 30, 40, 50, you know, a substantial increase in price. And I'm like, man, I bought that tape like 7 years ago for like $3,
mm-hmm.
you know, and, you know, I feel like with these price increases, and you talk about holy grails and stuff, I mean, people treat these tapes like trophies now. You know, and like I mean that in a literal sense, where they just stick them on their shelf and then show them to their friends, like, look what I have. I've been collecting movies and watching movies, and the reason I started publishing Lunch Meat is because I want to share these with people, with my friends. Like, when my friends would come over, I'd be like, look at these rad tapes I just got, let's watch them. Not look at these rad tapes I got, I paid $500 for it.
Yeah, you know? Don't touch it.
Yeah, don't touch it. Like, I mean, if I paid $600 for something, I'd be afraid to put it in my VCR. In a way, you know what I mean? Like, man, that's a lot of money. But I mean, that's why I buy tapes. I buy tapes because, like, holy shit, this looks awesome. Or, like, I really want to watch this. Or, like, I've never seen this. Like, you're talking about, like, I don't even know what this is.
Yeah,
you know, and it's, you know, I'm getting excited just talking about it. Like, that's the excitement that you just cannot replicate with shopping online. And that's why I always encourage people to go out and hunt. You know, like, with your buddies, like, getting the VHS tapes, looking at them online, you know, buying lots and stuff like that. Go to flea markets, you know, go to yard sales, look on, like, your local Craigslist for people getting rid of tapes. Go to weird people's houses and go in their basements. Like, that's where you can find cool tapes. It still exists. It's still there.
And you can also find some very interesting ways to die by doing that, Josh.
Yes.
You.
Well, life's an adventure. You know, filled with VHS tapes, so it's all in the game.
As long as you get a VHS tape out of it, you can face death.
In your trembling, dying hand, you have your favorite VHS tape.
Exactly. That's it. That's perfect plot for a serial killer. You can just lure people into your basement with rare tapes.
Dude, that is a great idea. Shot on video.
Yeah.
The VHS killer.
There you go. I like it.
There you go, man.
I'm waiting for these VHS killer movies to come out. There are a couple people doing. There's a label out there, isn't it? Warlock, that's doing shot on video stuff on VHS.
Yeah, Warlock is. They resurrected that though, wasn't that like resurrected? Like they did like DiBQ and some other stuff.
I really didn't get the whole picture. I kind of thought that was a joke that they were finding these old movies. There's no record of any of these films. Ever existed.
I didn't get it either, and I see these tapes, and I feel like I thought it was a put on. I thought it was like, oh yeah, they're just, these movies are from the 80s and we're resurrecting this. And I mean, I've looked at it, and I've had somebody actually submit an article about them. Well, it wasn't really, it was like 1,000 words, so it wasn't too big, but they just reviewed two movies and said that this company is resurrecting these movies. that were really, really rare from the 80s. And I'm like, I've never heard of any of this stuff.
No one's ever heard of them. But you know what? I mean, if you, you know, having gone to early conventions in the late 80s, early 90s, and Todd and Mr. Ree have done the same. There were all kinds of filmmakers at a table with like a movie they shot on video that you never saw again. You know, so the chances of this being true are very possible. Actually,
it's possible, and yeah. I agree with you that there are these like really like minuscule labels that put out one or two,
and yeah, or not even labels.
Warlock's video is something we would have heard of, right?
Well, if it got Warlock. I don't know if Warlock's a new name. There definitely wasn't a Warlock back in the day, at least not on the East Coast here where we were consuming stuff and collecting and renting and buying stuff that I remember. Now, I'm not the authority on that. So it's very possible that it was a small label, or it was something like Warlock Video's a new thing and they're just taking these old movies. Because, I mean, you come across stuff all the time that somebody shot on video that didn't get distribution. See, if it got distribution, then you would have seen it because somebody put it into stores, somebody bought it. But if it was just somebody selling it out of the trunk of their car, I mean, probably thousands of movies like that that are just sitting around in people's, bottom drawers and basements and things that they shot a movie with their friends when they were teenagers in the 80s. They're just there. I'm sure they are.
When you say that kind of stuff, that movie that comes to mind is Death Metal Zombies. Have you guys ever heard of that?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Todd Cook.
Yeah, see, like, that's a really low-budget release, and we've all heard of that. You know what I mean? It didn't even have a label, I don't think. I think it was just some dude producing a video.
But that got around. I have an original of that.
Yeah, I do, too. I mean, I have it,
yeah,
too.
I don't know where I got it. But also, you know, the eBay thing, it's not a new phenomenon. It was like 10, 11 years ago. Tapes would go, up to $100, $150, depending on what it was and the rarity and mainstream stuff that wasn't, right before DVD, stuff that wasn't coming out on DVD when DVD did hit. So, I mean, it's always been there. I think, it's just a little bit, some of the stuff's a little bit higher than back then. But people, I paid, $50, $60 for a tape 10 years ago on eBay because it was just rare. Never came across it. So it's been there. It's not a brand new phenomenon. It's been happening. There's a lot more attention now. There's a lot more younger people getting into it now who are blogging about it, doing videos about it. And, but back then the community wasn't talking about it as much because everybody was obsessed with DVD.
Yeah, because it was brand new.
And everyone was talking about DVD and how cool and all these extras, blah, blah, blah. Speaking of DVD, Mr. Ree,
I'm right here.
Do you have a Josh? You want to stay on for a couple minutes here?
I'm here for another 15 minutes.
Good.
Can I interject before you get off the VHS topic? Can I interject one question?
Absolutely.
Please.
What's the most anybody has paid so far for one VHS? I mean, you said $600. Is it $700, $800? What's $1,000? Is anybody paid $1,000?
I saw Demon Queen, and I did a blog entry about it, go for $800, like $799, Demon Queen. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's probably one of the most recent. There is something in my memory that is kind of hazy that I remember before New York Ripper came out on DVD from Blue Underground.
Mm-hmm.
I think I saw that for go like over $1,000.
Wow.
Now, are these real collectors, or is this some idiot like Charlie Sheen who just doesn't know what something is worth, but we'll pay any inflated price?
I could never tell you. I mean, you can't contact people when you see it go. You know, you can only contact the seller.
I think anybody's going to pay that much for a tape knows they're in the scene. You know, I don't know,
to assume that.
I mean, are you saying somebody's buying this stuff for investment purposes and they just don't know, they were told, and they're buying anything?
Well, Charlie Sheen did that. I mean, he very famously bought some baseball that at auction and paid some crazy amount of money for it, and it was worth nowhere near that. I mean, it was worth like a couple of, like maybe a couple of $100,000, and he paid like $2 or $3 million for it just because he didn't care, because he throws money away.
Charlie Sheen is also a unique person.
Well, I don't know if he didn't care. I'm sure he thought it was going to be either an item that people would ooh and ah over because he had it, or it was an item that he could resell for a profit. I mean, I'm sure he didn't just say, I don't think anybody throws away, even a billionaire doesn't throw away $2 million on something. I don't know. It just sounds kind of weird. It had to be some kind of trickery there, or the ball was worthless because the next game the record was beat or something. Isn't that the case?
I'm trying to remember exactly what the ball was, but it was something. It seemed like he probably just wanted it because he's crazy about. To me, he strikes me as the wrong kind of collector, the kind who collects things, like you said, so that he can impress his idiot friends.
Right. Well, didn't Todd McFarlane do the same thing? Didn't Todd McFarlane buy a ball that was wound up being worthless?
I don't know about that. That's good.
The Image Comics, Todd McFarlane's, the Spawn. Yeah. I don't know. That's out of my
Here's a question.
Yeah, let's talk about VHS.
What does Charlie Sheen's VHS tape collection look like?
Yeah, right. It's very dirty.
Indeed.
I do have, and it's around here somewhere. I was just looking at it. I do have a Letter from Death Row on VHS, which is Charlie Sheen and Bret Michaels. Made a film together, Bret Michaels of Poison fame, and it might just make it into tapes from the trash bin.
I'd love to see that.
Letter from Death Row. Yes, I think I'm going to cue that up. Anyway, Mr. Reed, do you have a DVD review? Even though we're talking about VHS, and this is not a VHS only show, by the way. Some people have accused us of that. You guys talk about VHS a lot, don't you? Well, yes, we do. It's only part of the huge fantasy land of Movies Hate You. Mr. Reed, give us a movie review.
Booted again.
A movie review. Huh?
No, I got booted for a second, but I'm back.
Oh, okay. Okay. I have two movies, actually. You want both of them, or you want one of them? You want a good one or a bad one? Or both?
You both at the same time?
Are we short on time? Oh, yeah, I could
we've got about 3 minutes.
All right, very good, very good.
Yeah, great. That's the worst thing to tell this guy. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, first title I want to talk about is the movie called Haunted Shangi, or Shangi.
Changi?
I'm not actually Oriental, so I cannot pronounce
the word. You're blowing the thing. You're blowing the whole cover. You're supposed to be Mr. Lee, Mr. Ree, the Oriental reviewer.
Confucius say, many men smoke, but Fu Manchu.
Huh.
That's really all I know. Anyway, Haunted Shangji, it's the movie from Singapore, which I'm so not Oriental. I don't even know where the hell Singapore is. Is it Japan?
But it doesn't matter. How's the movie like?
Whatever. Well, anyway, it's a Singaporean movie.
A Singaporean? Is that like an Episcopalian?
Not a Singaporno. Not a Singaporno. That's a whole different thing. Anyway,
is some young hung guy in that one?
I wouldn't know, Rob.
Okay.
Okay, that's the series now.
3 minutes.
This is a movie. This is from the I guess you'd say the first person found footage horror genre.
So in Singapore, they're just getting around to the Blair Witch ripoffs, is what you're trying to say.
I guess so. Okay. It's very Blair Witchy. It's very, in fact, it apparently had a viral marketing campaign that really took off and made it, I don't know if it's the number one movie in Singapore, but it broke records for independent, at least, indie Singapore films, which is a very small, genre. But anyway, it's a found footage, which, I think the genre's kind of played out. I'm a big fan of Blair Witch. I like the Paranormal Activity movies. I like Cloverfield. I hate Diary of the Dead. But it belongs to that genre. And this one's actually pretty good. I would say it's more Blair Witch Project, if you like Blair Witch Project, than Diary of the Dead. Unless, of course, you like Diary of the Dead and hate Blair Witch Project, then just, reverse those things.
And if you like Diary of the Dead, please tune out this show right now and don't come back. Thank you.
And don't get me wrong, because I love George Romero. I honestly do. I just think that it was a mistake to use that to try to work in that genre, because I don't think he knew anything about that genre. I don't mean the horror genre. I mean the found found footage.
You know, I love this guy. What part of 3 minutes didn't you understand? How's the movie?
Cut out anything he wants to cut out. Anyway, I highly recommend it. Haunted Shangi. It's Changi, and write a letter if you know how to pronounce the word, right?
Yes. Along with the Asian American Defense League Fund. Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
But it's a good movie. It's very low key. Not a lot of you know, like Blair Witch. Not a lot of scares. But very low key, character driven. Good. I'd highly recommend it. But as far as
it's an old haunted hospital, by the way, you know, if you just to let you know, you're the worst movie reviewer in the history of movie reviewing. You don't give any plot. You talk about George Romero the whole time. And
well, you know, some movies, Rob, you don't need to know the plot. You know, the less you know, the better.
Yes, okay, you're right. Yeah. You're teaching me. You're right. Okay. All right. So not only all that great stuff, you can get it at bmovie.com for $11.
You can.
Yeah.
And okay. also available at bmovies.com, and it is this time of year. Santa Claus versus the Zombies.
Santa Claus versus the Martians.
No, that's, you know what?
It's
probably going to be right next to that title on the when you're flipping through the DVDs at your local store.
All right, I don't want to confuse the two when I'm shopping.
No, you don't want. Well, maybe you do want to be confused. The filmmakers are definitely confused. Now, I like the movie, but it's a little kind of it's a weird movie because it's. On the one hand, it's family friendly, I guess, in that there isn't any cussing, there's no nudity, there's really no gore to speak of, even though it's a zombie movie. So I guess it would be appropriate for all ages, but I can't imagine anybody wanting to show it to their kids. It's not really a kids movie or anything. It's got some funny moments. It's basically some people trapped in a house with zombies attacking, and one guy may or may not be the real Santa Claus. He's a department store Santa who possibly is the real Santa.
So wait, it's not like people get trapped in a house, the zombies are coming in, and then Santa Claus comes down the chimney just to deliver some gifts and winds up fighting zombies. That's not what happens.
Not exactly.
That's how I would have seen the movie.
Well, yeah. It's good. It's definitely low budget. You know, the guy's heart's definitely in the right place. Yeah, there's some funny moments if you like. If you've seen every other, you've seen Santa Claus versus the Martians, then definitely check this out.
You've seen every other Santa Claus movie, then you want to see. I mean, that's not the best endorsement I've ever heard for a movie. If you've seen every other Christmas horror movie, then definitely check out Santa Claus versus the Zombies.
That's about what I was going to say, and I caught myself. That doesn't sound like a very strong recommendation.
Be prepared for the filmmaker to use that one on the box from you, Mr. Ray. Jeez. Okay. Well,
yeah.
So not Santa hasn't been so good to you this week. Well, half good, half bad. Okay. What about that? My stepdad's a freaking vampire. We never got the whole review from you.
I don't think
we have time.
No, I know. I'm just kidding. I'm busting him. All right, this is it. We're at the end here. I want to thank you, Mr. Ree, for coming on and giving us those DVD reviews. And anyone interested in those films, I suggest you go to bmovie.com, the sponsor of this show, Movies Hate You, on Jackalope Radio. Don't forget to check us out in the forums, jackaloperadio.com. Todd, thank you very much.
Always.
Producing this fine show, and our very special guest tonight, Josh Schaefer from Lunch Meat Magazine. Thank you for coming on, putting up with us, and talking about your fine magazine, your upcoming Monster Channel TV show, which is very exciting. VHS has apparently taken over, man, and you are at the helm.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate you having me on and everything. And you know, it's always fun to talk with you guys. So I really appreciate it.
You'll be back, man. There'll be an issue 7. There better damn well be.
Oh man, there will be an issue 7. There will be many issues.
Good. You'll be back. And in the meantime, go see Josh at lunchmeatvhs.com and send him some VHS tapes or some.
Yes, please talk to me. I love when people email us.
Yeah, and he wants more writers. And or join the Fiend Club. Forget the Fiend Club.
Yeah, I started a fan club, guys.
There you go.
Old school.
All right. Thank you very much for joining us. Todd, thank you.
Thank you.
So, all right. Talk to you soon.
Later, guys.